So tell me about these CO2 sensors and what you're really measuring with them.
What they're measuring is the gas, the concentration of the gas carbon dioxide, which we exhale in our breath. When we exhale, the air that comes out of our lungs has roughly 100 times the concentration of carbon dioxide as the outdoor air. So, you know, if we're in a small, poorly ventilated room, our sitting around, even, you know, if we're not very active, really increases that carbon dioxide level quite a bit.
Okay, so you're basically measuring, you can see whether the air that I'm breathing in has already been breathed out by somebody else.
Yeah, that's a good way of thinking about it.
So we've had this sensor in the KNAU studio for a couple of weeks now. What have you noticed so far?
The KNAU room has some of the higher spikes. That and occasionally the Cephens Dean's office is probably vying for the highest CO2 levels that we've seen on campus. These carbon dioxide levels themselves are not dangerous at the levels we've seen them in your studios or anywhere else on campus, but we don't yet really know how to link them to, you know, the concentrations of, say, aerosols that could potentially be carrying COVID virus.
But they are showing us that the room isn't very well ventilated, right?
Yeah, they're showing up that the room is not particularly well ventilated, which is not surprising, given that that room is supposed to be soundproof and you know, you want it all sealed up and quiet in there.
What other things can affect these CO2 levels?
If there's a gas stove on or a gas heater, you know, for example, in a biology lab, they might be using a Bunsen burner, which is burning gas and producing some carbon dioxide. It could also be that if a room is near an air intake to a building and that air intake is exposed, say, to a delivery truck that's idling, that could give an artificial spike. Or if there's a non-human animal respiring in the room. If you have your cat sitting on your warm computer, it's going to contribute to all the metabolically produced CO2 in that room. Those sorts of things all add up.
What are you planning on doing next with this research?
I think what we're planning to do next is to continue, you know, sampling different rooms and you know, getting hopefully a broader range of kind of occupancy measurements. The other thing that we would like to do, because these little carbon dioxide sensors are pretty low cost, it would be great if we could have many, many more of them and really develop sort of a network of these across campus. So we could be looking at, you know, a much larger number of room and occupancy and ventilation conditions.
If you see with these sensors that there are these kind of higher spikes in some of the buildings that you're checking out, what's the next step? What should we do about that? Maybe we need to turn on a fan or open a window, something like that?
I would say here on campus, yeah, I would look for opportunities to move more air through our offices.
So if you hear a fan behind Morning Edition tomorrow, you'll know that someone got worried about it and turned one on.
That's right.
You know, but you know, we got to keep in mind that these risks are only present if we have infected people, you know, who are in these rooms. So, you know, obviously the best thing is that we're all staying healthy, getting vaccinated, and, you know, not carrying any viruses around with us. But lacking perfect knowledge of that, this seems like a good approach. It's just to get better ventilation.
George, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thanks a lot, Melissa. I appreciate it.